This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
SourceTrunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to SourceTrunk episode 31, recorded on the 2nd of 2008. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. I'll be drinking a Mort Subit Geuse with this episode, and there are monastic records from 1604, which first referred to the farm brewery in the picturesque Pajotten region. It's in Flanders, and it's a pretty brown blonde beer, not too strong, 4.5% alcohol, very fresh to drink in the summer. Just taking a sip. A bit sweet, a bit too sweet for my taste. And in the early 20th century, there was a guy named Théophile Vossen who ran a Brussels pub known as La Coeur Royale. And the pub was known for its enjoyable and entertaining ambience. What people liked to do over there was throw the dice. And the loser in the game was known as the Moor, or the Dead One. When the game had to be stopped due to the fact that people had to go back to work or the wives were standing in the doorway, they mostly threw one last throw of the dice, and that was called the sudden death, the final throw, the mort subite. Now, because of the game's popularity, the pub owner changed the name of his pub to A la mort subite, which is still to be visited in Brussels. The lambic beer from Cobbegem that he served was later named after the famous pub. So that's for the Mort Subit Geuse. Let's go.
Multimedia software.
Miro. Miro is a TV-like experience for viewing pre-delivered video on the internet based on open protocols including RSS, BitTorrent, and HTTP. Miro, in my point of view, is something really usable to see all kinds of video. One thing that annoyed me a bit in the Linux world was the lack of good video aggregators. It was not that easy to download your favorite episode of Tiki Bar TV, for example, and Miro fills that in perfectly. When you open the application, on the left side you can see all your different channels where all your different RSS feeds with video are to be found. And the first thing that you will notice is the Miro guide. And the Miro guide is like having a TV guide where you can search for a lot of channels. There is a little window in which you can type whatever you want, for example Linux, and then you click search channels, and it will give you almost instantly all the vidcasts it knows about Linux. Another example I gave was Tiki Bar TV, so it's enough to just do Tiki and search channels, and it will find Tiki Bar TV, and you can just click on add, and you will have the channel in your left pane. So the Miro guide tries to give you a quick and easy access to over 3,000 video channels, all for free. On the top window there is also the popular tab, which you can click to see what is popular, what has been downloaded the most, and I see National Geographic video shorts as one of the most popular downloads. You can go to the top rated section or the featured or even HD high definition content. You can search categories for arts, comedy, technology, music, news, video blogs, education, and so on and so on and so on. Now, this gives you the possibility to make a complete library of videos and have all that with a single click. It is fast. It is really usable. And we've not even seen, I think, 20% of what it can do. You can put your videos completely full screen if you want. So you can use this really as a TV application. And there's more to it. You can have a video search as well. And you can search things on YouTube, Google Video, Blogdigger, Rever, Dailymotion, Yahoo, Blip TV, Yahoo Video, Mifedia, and just have them play in a little channel. Now, I've been talking about channels quite a bit. I'll click on the Tiki Bar TV channel, and there I'll see how much items there are in the channel and how many I've already downloaded. I've got 11 of the most recent downloaded, and I can just click the green arrow and play the episode I want. When I switch to another video, it will remember the point where I left the video, and when you go back to the same video, it will play from that on. So when somebody rings, you can just stop and start where you've left the show. There are a lot of things you can do with your channels. You can have all the videos automatically downloaded or the most recent downloaded. You can have them auto expire, so to make place on your hard drive. You can keep them. You can even send the channels to friends via a little service they use. It is extraordinary. What you can do as well is add your own videos in a little library. So you can have Miro completely govern all your videos on your machine and put them in a little channel as well. You can have watched folders. So you can watch a folder for new videos to pop up. Maybe you have another aggregator that downloads videos for you and you want to see it with the ease of use that Miro can give you, and then you just have to use a watched folder. You can delete channels very easy. You can left click them and it will be deleted. You can very easily see what is new, what has been downloaded by the coloring they use. I see in the new a green color on the number of downloads that indicates that there are new videos downloaded for that channel. You can make folders with channels and so on and so on. I'm not going to explain everything you can do with it because I would be sitting here for another hour. They have introduction videos, I think about 12 or 11, which will guide you through Miro in, I think, about 20 minutes. And it will show you everything Miro can do for you in a very nice video. What else? What did you expect? I must say, I was really surprised about the number of channels and videos you can download freely from the net. You have stuff from MIT, Massachusetts Institute for Technology. It's like everybody is jumping on the video train. Really, really check it out. Some negative aspects. Well, I had a few crashes now and then, but once, apparently when it is running for a while, it's good. There are a lot of authors and contributors to the Miro project. You can check them out on getmiro.com/about. The availability, well, it's available for all platforms. It's available for Mac OS X, it's available for Windows, Linux, a lot of binaries you can download. You can install it via the repositories of your favorite distribution. The license is GPL. The latest release is 1.0, so now is really the time to check it out. And you can get it from getmiro.com. The installation is unbelievably simple. It's a very good installation on every platform. Programming language, it's in Python, and you can support it by going to getmiro.com/about/donate. They also need bug reports. They need a lot of people who can develop. They need translators. So really hop onto the site and try to help Miro if you like the project and if you want to contribute to it.
System tools.
Ajax term. Let's see if you recognize this situation. You have your own server at home and you would once in a while want to make some adjustments from work or someplace else. Now, that can be pretty tricky if your company has a pretty closed firewall. Most companies will only let port 80 or 443 through, and that is the HTTP or HTTPS port, which you can use to browse a website or browse a secure website, and that's it. So no port 22 that you can use to log in via SSH on your server. Or maybe your own internet service provider lets you only use the ports above 1024, and then you have to change the default port or add a port for SSH and stuff like that. So it can be really, really tricky to use a dedicated terminal on your server. One example of how it can go really, really wrong is I used to hop on to a colleague's laptop via SSH on a guest account, and he had access to port 7070 on the internet, which he needed for work. And I had set the port 7070 as one of my listeners on my SSH server. So I hopped on onto his laptop and hopped on from there onto my own server, or I put a little tunnel to do so. The problem is I didn't warn him in advance that I was going to be doing that. I'm just logging in, hopping over and doing some stuff, getting my SQL server down, stuff like that, just for fun, just for kicks. But when he leaves and goes off to a client and just shut down his laptop, then I'm just completely in the middle of something and I have no way getting back until he comes back. It's really horrible. But now with AJAX term, I only need port 80. AJAX term is a web-based terminal. It was totally inspired and works almost exactly like anyterm.org, except it's much easier to install. So that's the definition. A very good friend of mine mailed AJAX term, and the moment I saw what it was, I was completely struck by lightning. This is very cool. So, the only thing you have to do is install AJAX term on your Apache web server, and you can serve to your web server to that directory where AJAX term is installed, and voila! You log in, you get the login of your terminal, of your server, and you can just log in. That's it. Okay, pretty insecure. No, it isn't insecure at all. I'll explain even further. And the most simple way to explain this is to explain the installation. On Debian, the only thing I had to do was apt-get install AJAX term. And AJAX term will run then under its own user AJAX term. AJAX term is really only a daemon. And that daemon resides on the port, listens on the port 8022. So that has nothing to do with web-based terminals at all. But now comes the beautiful thing. When you edit your Apache configuration, and preferably you have a secure web server which will listen on the port 443, you can have it proxy pass the port 8022, and then when you log on to that directory, it will give you the AJAX term terminal. The AJAX term terminal will simply behave as any terminal, so it will ask for a logon. You have to give your username, and then you can give your password, and you're logged in into your system, like you would do with a normal terminal. So you really have to do this on port 443. You really have to do this on a HTTPS web server. Don't do it on an HTTP web server, because your password and logon will be completely in clear text, and you'll be having some visitors on your web server before you know it. If this seems very difficult to set up, well, it isn't at all. I'll put the link to the AJAX term website in the show notes, and it's just one page with very clear instructions how to install it, and you'll see once installed, it is just a beauty to work with. You can even enlarge your terminal with and Hive. So you have a really big terminal in your browser where it can work very fast. If you have a pretty fast web server, you'll see that the updates are nearly instantaneous. It is extraordinary. Some tips, if you want to make it even more secure, so next to putting it on a HTTPS web server, you can have Apache, you can use Apache's own security, for example, by restricting only your IP address to that directory or your domain name, or even have another username and password on the Apache directory. And then when you log on to AjaxTerm, it will ask you again for a logon, this time the logon on your terminal. So you can make it as secure as you want to. The latest release is 0.10, and you can get it from anthony.lesuisse.org, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. The license is public domain, and to give you some more background about the public domain license, it's not really a license. It means that the material is not copyrighted at all, so no license is really needed. The programming language is as well in Python, and you have to contact the author to ask him how you can contribute to this project, or how you can thank him for this really, really nice application.
A little extra.
Mock. Music on console. The description. Mock is a console audio player with a simple NCursus interface in Play MP3 list style. It supports MP3 with ID3 tag, VBR and Xing headers, AUG, FLAC, WAVE, MusePack, Speaks, WMA, MP4, AAC, and some other less popular audio formats. Playlists can be saved and loaded using .m3u files. Internet streams are supported, like Shoutcast and Icecast. It achieves gapless playback by employing an output buffer in a separate thread and file pre-caching. The key mapping can be fully customized. The interface can be detached from the server as it plays in the background. For me, the practical use is very simple. My server is in my garage, very Flintstones-like, and sometimes I have speakers plugged into the thing, and I quickly want to listen to music via the console. Then Mock is really what I want to use. I really want very fast access to my files. Just throw in a few albums in the playlist and have it play on the speakers. You can even, like it said in the description, detach the front end from it, and it will play in the background as a little demon. And then you start Mock again, and you will be directed to the demon, where you can add again to the playlist, or skip a few numbers, or pause, and stuff like that. It's really simple, it's really small, and you can even use it via AjaxTerm if you want to scare the living daylights of the people who are next to your server without you even being there. It's really, really nice. When I was talking about the audio formats, it speaks for itself that Miro supports the most popular video formats, as well as the open and free video and audio formats. Now, back to Mock. The offer is Damien Pieters, and the availability is it's POSIX, BSD, FreeBSD, and Linux. The installation, you can install it from the repositories, like I did, or completely from source, and it has been written in C. The latest release is 2.4.3, and you can get it from mock.taper.net. I'll put it on the show notes. The license is GNU General Public License, and you can support it by going to mock.taper.net/contrib. Before I wrap this up, I just want to mention two things. One is that Skype finally released video support for Linux, so you really should check it out. It is not open source, I know, but it could mean that a lot of people who are still using Windows, because of the fact that they can't use video with Skype, don't have any reason not to switch to Linux. So try it out. It's okay, it's still proprietary software, but it will get people closer to Linux. Another thing that really amazed me was installing 7.10 Ubuntu on a old laptop was completely done with open and free drivers. Out of habit, after an installation, I was going to the restricted drivers pane to see what I had to activate to have everything working, and it just told me nothing at all. Everything is supported, free and open source. Nice work, Ubuntu. If you're free on the 8th, 9th and 10th of February, then you could check out the SCALE, the Southern California Linux Expo. Just a little promo.
By now, you've probably heard about Linux, but whether you're a pro or have barely heard the word, SCALE, the Southern California Linux Expo has something for you. SCALE 6X will have over 50 speakers covering the hottest topics in open source software and more than 75 booths this year representing a wide range of commercial products and nonprofit organizations. Don't forget Friday's special sessions with Docs, open source software in the healthcare industry, the Women in Open Source Conference, and new this year is the Open Source Software in Education Conference. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2008, at the Westin LAX Hotel in Los Angeles, California. For more information and to register for the expo, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.org, use promo code CAST, that's C-A-S-T, for 40% off of your registration. We'll see you at SCALE.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Have yourself a very challenging and exciting 2008. Next episode, I will be drinking a simple Stella Artois, so you can all drink with me. No excuses there. You can find Stella Artois wherever you are. Leave your comments on sourcestring.com or mail me directly via sourcestring@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with Shake It by Rediscover. Thanks for your time and good hunting.
Tell me when I'll pick you up then. If you'll be ready, I'll be there at 10. Now, baby, just tell me when.